Hello and welcome to the Shipyard Energy Podcast. This is Mark Williams, broadcasting to you from sunny Cambridgeshire in the United Kingdom. My guest today is Erno Tenhunen. He is Danfoss Editron's Marine Director. He oversees the development of new systems technology and leads the company's marine business. Additionally, he oversees the operations of the Editron Marine Division's global team across areas including Europe, the United States, and Asia Pacific. Prior to joining Danfoss, Erno spent over 20 years at ABB, where he became Vice President of Sales and Global Sales Manager for marine segments such as icebreakers and cruise. Erno holds a Master in Energy Technology degree from LUT University. Now, for those of you who don't know Danfoss Editron, Erno will introduce us more particularly to it. But it's a company that builds electric hybrid powertrain systems for heavy-duty and commercial vehicles and machines on land and at sea. And in the marine market, it builds engines or powertrains up to about 6 megawatts. But we'll get a much better introduction from the man himself. So, Erno, welcome to the Ship.Energy podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
And please, would you introduce the company to us?
Yes. Maybe I will start what Danfoss is. So Danfoss is actually a large global family-owned company, divided into three main business areas. There is a power solutions, which is focusing to mobile hydraulics and its new portfolio, which is extension to mobile electrification. Then there is a climate solution, which is focusing to energy efficient heating and cooling solutions. And Danfoss Drives is focusing to electrification and hybridization. And actually, they have a very long history working as a supplier for maritime industry. One of the most famous brands within Danfoss for maritime industry is Vacon with its NXP and IC7 variable speed drives. Danfoss Editron itself is part of Power Solutions, having portfolio to electrify off-highway, on-highway, and marine applications. For marine portfolio includes not only compact inverters and compact permanent magnet machines, but also low footprint DC-based marine power system solution, which is mainly used in a small range marine commercial vessels.
Okay, thank you. So this is a company that builds powertrains to move heavy machinery across land and sea. In the marine market, I noticed from the website, it says on the website that you use synchronous reluctance-assisted permanent magnet technology. And I was wondering, for the less technically minded like myself, could you explain what synchronous reluctance-assisted permanent magnet technology is?
It would be a pleasure to explain. Maybe we can start from the benefits and the big picture why we are using this. So this is technology Danfoss is using for mobile and industrial electric machines. And the reason to use this technology is really a market need to get better machines for mobile applications. So design was originally made for off-highway and marine mobile application, but it's nowadays also used in a process industry thanks to the compact size, energy efficiency, and reliability. The outcome of the used technology is really the size and weight benefits with a good combination of high torque capability and very high energy efficiency. We are using a synchronous technology, which means that we have a permanent magnet used to in the machine, and additional magnetization device is not needed. Our design is made in a way that amount of magnet material comparing to conventional permanent magnet machine is less. This is a question of the day that what is the right material for permanent magnet machines. But our approach have been that we are using reduced amount of magnets in the machines. And this technology is really the one which is solving the case.
So this saves on weight and cost and so on.
Correct. And we have also elements there in the machine mechanical design that we are optimizing the flux to provide high torque and energy efficiency, which again leads to a even more compact size.
That's great, thank you. And the claim to fame for this powertrain is that it was used in the Horizon, the European Union's Horizon 2020 e-ferry project to electrify a ferry operating on the route between, I'm going to get my pronunciation wrong here, Soby and Funsav in Denmark. Can you tell us about that project, please?
Yes, it would be a pleasure. So target of this project was to demonstrate that zero emission ferry is technically possible to build, and also to demonstrate that to commercial vessel owners operational benefits of full electric vessel. So Danfoss made a design and also built the DC based power system including electric propulsion, and we delivered our inverters and electric machines to this ferry. And since then it has been in operation, and its on hire time has been actually very good comparing to other alternative systems.
And I noted that the project consortium involved in replacing the original diesel ferry with this e-ferry included 9 organizations from Denmark, also the Hellenic Institute of Transport, Le Clanchet, Tuco Marine Group, and other organizations, including yourselves. Now, we hear a lot at Ship Energy, especially in our recent Ship Energy Summit that we held in Valencia, we hear lots about cooperation being key to decarbonisation. You know, we have to work together between ship owners, operators, charterers, customers, powertrain manufacturers, OEMs, governments, and so on. And this looks like a real cooperative effort. And I was wondering, how comfortable was that element of the project for you? Was it difficult to work together with 8 other organisations?
This was a very interesting project. It was a pilot project, so of course you could expect that there will be challenges as we were facing, but different type of challenges. So we have to keep in mind that we were creating completely new vessel type using new technologies, full electric ferry. So it was actually the biggest full electric ferry in commercial operation when it was delivered to Arrow Ferries. Cooperation between parties was smooth and easy because we all had clear focus areas. I have to say great thanks to all parties involved, and also special thanks to project management capabilities Shipyard and Arrow Ferries demonstrated. So they made a big job. I think this was very important project, not only for the parties involved, but also for our whole maritime industry. Because while we were creating the new vessel type, we were collecting data throughout the project, but not only throughout the project, but also during vessel operation. So this was a showcase for modern electric technologies in the maritime industry with DC-based distribution and safe battery systems. And this data have been used to evaluate new e-ferry investments. So this was a really important program and a great effort from all parties involved.
I'm really interesting to hear that. That what I heard particularly in that was the element of a clear focus for each of the organizations in the cooperation. So you didn't tread on each other's toes.
Yes, absolutely. We knew what was expectation from our side. We were focusing on that. And of course, we were communicating the interfaces, technical interfaces, that's mostly engineering work. But the big thing was that the direction was right. And now, 3 years after vessel commercial operation, it's evident that fully electric ferry is actually a viable solution also for commercial ferry operations. And what we have learned that additional investment have only 5 to 8 years payback time, even if this was a pilot case. And today we already know that if we would use all the know-how, what we learned during this project and some other similar cases afterwards, that the payback time for additional investment is even less today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I imagine the costs are coming down on the technology. And of course, the more experience everybody has, the more expertise everybody gains, and the lower their own cost inputs become.
Correct.
This e-ferry uses, I read, a 4.3 megawatt hour motor, which for ocean-going ships would be quite small. For this ferry application, probably ideal. A VLCC, a very large crude carrier, one of the biggest types of oil tanker, uses about 35 megawatts or requires about 35 megawatts of power. And the largest container ships have engines that can generate about 60 megawatts of power. So I was wondering, how big can electric motors get, or can you put them in series or in parallel or in some organization so that you can multiply their output for larger vessels?
For the moment, the biggest electric machines can provide more than 30 megawatts power. These are special cases. Productized machines are up to 20 megawatt plus, and these are used in a different type of vessels. And of course, the total propulsion power can be much, much higher by making a different type of propulsion combinations. There are already vessels with 60 megawatt propulsion power, which are with electric propulsion. And what the future will be, that's a different story. And we have to keep in mind that electric machine itself is not a only limiting element when designing vessel electric propulsion, but it's actually a combination of variable speed drive and machine together. So for the naval architect, this is actually a challenging task, but we have to keep in mind that already today there are big vessels which are using electric propulsion. Our current portfolio for the maritime industry is focusing mainly to high volume, low voltage electric machines going up to 6 megawatts. In practice, machines are rated to maximum voltage level 690 volts. And it means also that these machines can be used if there is a 1 kilovolt DC network on board of the vessel.
Mm-hmm. So it's high volume. So that's sort of smaller vessels, inshore, offshore, coastal, short sea, river vessels, that sort of application.
Yes. So, of course, the high volume in a marine is low volume in other industries, but we see that these volumes are big enough to support the maritime industry.
This is a bit of a diversion, but I was talking to a yacht broker this week who said that at every yacht conference, everybody talks about ESG these days and how to decarbonize the yachting industry. And this broker told me, the simplest way to decarbonize super yachts is not to build them at all, because the world can survive without them. But assuming they're going to get built, I imagine that they could be a good application for this sort of powertrain.
Absolutely. We have actually several customers who are building yachts or even super yachts. Reasoning why they are selecting us and using our systems and components is really the same arguments as others are selecting us. So in practice, they want to save space. When you have a extremely expensive or yacht, you don't want to use your space for electric devices, but you want to save all space what is possible for the people. And of course, electric system is also, you can combine alternative power sources, meaning that the vessel operation can be silent. So no extra vibrations from main engines, and also the completely silent mode is possible to build.
Yes. I imagine that's a very attractive proposal for the luxury yacht sector. The mantra on land is to electrify everything and then generate electricity using renewables. So how much of marine transport do you think can be electrified? It's another way of looking at what we just looked at, you know, what are the applications for electrical energies? But, you know, there are 60,000 ocean-going ships approximately on the water at the moment, and another 40,000 offshore and river and coastal and specialist types. So let's call it 100,000 ships. What percentage of that do you think is it possible to electrify?
I would like to say that technically everything can be electrified. However, the main question, in my opinion, is that what is commercially feasible now or in the future? For the moment, electrification is mainly for the short sea shipping, where high volumes are in tugboats, ferries, and different type of work boats. These vessels have typically fixed roads or limited operational area, so it's easy with the current available commercial technologies to electrify these type of vessels. About the ocean-going vessels, that's a different market, different solutions. But I'm also convinced that there will be solutions also for ocean-going vessels. Technology is already there. Electrification is the future also in the maritime industry, and we see that the evolution has already started. The day when all vessels will be electrified, we don't know, but it will come, definitely.
Yeah. One more question on that. You know, we might not be able to electrify the main engine of, for instance, very large oil tankers or bulk carriers with electrical generators in every instance. But we could, for instance, put electricity in to run the auxiliary power systems or to run on batteries, for instance, for the last 12 miles as you're approaching territorial waters coming into port. Are those feasible applications where ship owners with vessels on the water today could make retrofits in order to enable them to meet the IMO's 2030 emission reduction targets?
There is already solutions for those purposes. So definitely, it's a trend for the moment. And all the auxiliary systems can be electrified, meaning that the local power needs on board of the vessels can use electricity, which is generated by different ways, using the main engine or using some alternative power source.
Yeah, so we could drop the diesel auxiliary power and replace it with electricity. So that would be a step in the right direction, at least. It's about, I think, decarbonization is like eating the elephant. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One mouthful at a time. You just have to nibble away at the problem where you can.
Yes, correct. Our way and our approach has been focusing to auxiliary systems on, when we are talking about ocean-going vessels, and also for we are focusing also propulsion when we are talking about short shipping and smaller size vessels.
That's great. Erno.
This is the market which exists already.
Yeah. So Erno, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come and talk to us on the Ship.Energy podcast this week. It's been fascinating to hear about the development of your synchronous reluctance-assisted permanent magnet technology and associated projects. And it's good to see that there are numerous ways into decarbonisation, including electrification. One last question for you, if any of our listeners are interested, and presumably there's a website they can go to get your contact details.
Everybody can contact me through Danfoss homepages or Danfoss Editron homepages. There you can find my contact information as well as the Danfoss sales network.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. Well, thanks again for coming on, and wish you a very enjoyable rest of August and best of luck for the rest of the year and for your ongoing projects.
Thank you, Mark.
And thanks to all of you out there in listener land, and hope you're enjoying your summer. If you're on vacation, I hope you'll be listening to this by the pool with a nice tall drink. And we'll be back with another Ship Energy podcast very soon. Bye for now.